Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to the decline and fall of the Labour Party, although this episode may reveal that it's slightly more than just the Labour Party. It is British politics as a whole.
I was going to say, because this is the fourth of these that we've done, they can't still be declining, can they?
I'm afraid they can. I mean, right. Edward Gibbon noted the decline and fall of the Roman Empire happened 400 years. So
yes,
we could...
This might be quicker.
We could get a lot of mileage out of it.
Yes.
And we likely will. So let's begin with some local election by-election, local council by-elections. As usual, as you can see here in Suffolk, things went pretty south for Labour and the Conservatives pretty quickly, but also the Lib Dems, interestingly enough. No independent, but 49.2% reform.
Yeah, from nowhere.
Yeah, and from a previously Conservative holding. But as you'll notice, the Conservatives were only on about 34%.
Yes.
So reform have rocketed up to nearly 50%.
Well, the thing is, in British politics, you don't normally get anything close to 50%. That is extremely rare. Normally, 30, 35% is considered a stonking result.
Yes. And so, absolutely correct. And so to have what was doubtless a conservative stronghold collapse so heavily, and then you can see the Labour Party, they're minus 27.4%, down to 12.5%. Even the Lib Dems losing nearly 10%. I imagine a lot of Labour and Lib Dem went to Green, but I think a lot of Labour also went to Reform.
Yeah, I mean, that is classic politics there. So Conservatives, what they would have been 34%. Yep. Labour would have been very slightly behind them with... you know, whatever they had. Didn't they have more?
About 30%.
They had about 30%, did they? Well, I'm not sure why that's a conservative gain when it looks like Labour was on more. So it might have been the way...
I guess a typo there or something.
Yeah, quite possible. Maybe it was 17% they're down. But that is typical politics. It's 30% versus 25%.
Yes.
Seen that for decades.
Yeah. Across the country.
Yeah, I have not seen... I mean, apart from very exceptional cases... I mean, there was this guy called Martin Bell who popped up once in the 1997 election, and he stood as an independent. He got good press, and he got like 50%. But apart from that, you just don't see it.
Yeah, the only thing similar is Rupert Lowe's Great Yarmouth First.
Yes.
44% polling in the constituency. But as you can see, Reform are just eating up the competition here. So that's interesting. But again, it plays into our thesis that it's the centre that's collapsing.
Yeah.
People are going to the extremes. Green Party, another second party in Suffolk, Pakefield. And then I can't remember whether we covered this, but it's very similar numbers in a Blackpool by-election. Whereas you can see, Reform have just gained this from Labour in the opposite way. But like you say, very similar numbers in the centre, right? Conservatives down by 17 to put them on 22. Labour down by 22 to put them on 21. Reform, 44%.
But it also shows the breadth of the thesis, because last time we were looking at a Conservative stronghold.
Yes.
And historically, they have not behaved the same way that, you know, this presumably, this would be a red wall seat.
Yes.
So what used to be the sort of unstoppable bulk wall that the Labour Party had, if they're cutting through equally on both sides, that it's transcended something that didn't happen in politics before.
Yes. And as we've spoken of previously, this is just the centre bottoming out.
Mm.
It's in free fall, it's collapsing, and people are just going elsewhere. And it's happening all across the country, in the north and south, all across the country. People are like, yeah, you know what, I'm done. And so we'll skip ahead to the aggregate of the seats, which I think shows us a lot. The Lib Dems have been crowing that they've won the most council by-elections in 2025. They have by two seats, but they are an established party that is very good in local elections.
Well, and also they probably fought all or most of them.
Yes. Reform are kind of sleepwalking their way into success. Mm. Because the thing is, the Lib Dems are going to have a very well-oiled machine when it comes to local elections.
So with political parties, getting somebody for parliamentary seats is hard enough. getting people to contest every local seat is nigh on impossible.
Yes.
And the Lib Dems, I mean, part of the reason they do so well is because they turn up and they put candidates out.
Yeah. And they constantly leaflet in very targeted areas. Mm. And they've got a very, like I said, well-oiled machine that is on the ground constantly running these things. Now, Reform don't have any of that. No. Reform have a kind of... I don't want to be uncharitable, but a kind of systemic incompetence.
Yeah.
But the wind is in their sails.
Yeah.
They don't have the vast urban machinery that's marching around knocking on doors. Mm. But what they have is a popular opinion that this country's screwed, and Nigel Farage is at least not one of the old consensus.
Mm.
And so Reform got 104 seats, which is a massive increase, the largest increase. And as you can see by the decrease, it's Labour and the Tories that are losing by a long way. And this we've mapped this out before, but as you can see, again, just complete sea change from Conservatives and Labour, who, if you look at the beginning, started with the lion's share between them, and now are 21 and 14 after these elections. This is not the number of councillors that they have. These are the number of seats that have changed over the course of the year. But that's still a bellwether to show you where people are going. And a lot of them are going to Reform and Lib Dems.
It's just
the nature of the beast. And the old parties are in trouble. So let's have a look at the national polling. Now, there's a lot of swing in the national polling. This came out on the 17th, after the week of them berating Nigel Farage for being a racist.
And he went up.
+3 in the polls, yeah.
I mean, I guess he better hope that they keep calling him racist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he better actually, because things aren't exactly smooth sailing for Reform.
You wonder how much of a poll boost he would get if he just came out and just said, "Yeah, I'm racist." Probably like +10 or something.
I do wonder, but he's not going to do it. So this, as you can see, is a good result for Reform. Labour on 14%, Conservatives on 8%.
Mm.
Although, it's worth pointing out, and we'll get to this in a minute, this is definitely going to be undercounting a lot of things. Because, I mean, this is what it would look like if mapped. I assume the white areas are...
These are parliamentary seats.
Yeah. There's no way it's going to look like this. I mean, that's too much. That's way too much.
Yeah, I mean... So on the main image of the UK, the bigger constituencies, they're always far more likely to go for the right-wing option. I mean, even in 1997, if you looked at the map was basically blue because they're the big bits that you can see.
Yeah.
And it's really, you have to pull out those other bits. But yeah, even those other bits...
Look at Greater Manchester and West... No way. No way.
That does look like...
It's ridiculous.
Beyond what you could hope for. Yeah. But maybe...
I mean, I'm not going to say never. I'm not going to say it couldn't happen.
Tyne and Wear entirely, apart from maybe an independent.
But honestly, that's possible.
You know? Merseyside,
South
Yorkshire.
North East going Reform, I can completely believe. But I don't, just to be clear, I don't put much stock in this, right? I mean, I don't know why the Outer Hebrides are going Farage.
Like, I mean, if this did happen, where are they all going to sit? I mean... Parliament.
There'll be lots of empty
half
seats.
Half of Parliament is nowhere near big enough for this many MPs.
Yeah, but there will be lots of empty seats, and that's nice. They'll just be spilling.
Well, yes.
But I don't buy that one. There are other polling establishments, such as the Varian Group, who have come out with Reform on a respectable 27, but Conservatives only on 21, Labour 18, Lib Dems 15, and Green 13. Now, this, I feel, is more accurate. Varian doesn't do that much polling, but what they do is deep polling. They spend a lot. I think the last poll they produced was, in fact, yeah, it tells us at the bottom. The last one they produced was in April for this, right?
Okay.
So they have a much more thorough way of polling, and it was the most accurate of the 20 final polls published by the British Polling Council members in the 2024 general election.
Okay, that is interesting.
Yes. So Varian, they've got, they do I think it's in-person and telephone rather than doing self-selected internet ones based on like the slate of the database that they have access to, right? Like YouGov. So it is...
I mean, this looks to me more like normal politics I've become accustomed to over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It's still really strong for reform, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's terrible for Conservatives and Labour. But this, I feel, is a more accurate representation of what will actually come out. Because I think in many of these polls, Conservative voters are actually being undercounted because of the way that the polls work. Because a lot of polls these days are online polls,
yep.
And a lot of Conservative voters have yet to hear about the telephone. So let alone...
By faxing them.
Yeah, exactly. Let alone the internet. Did you know that the fax was invented in like the 19th century?
No.
There was a period of time when Abraham Lincoln could have sent a fax to a samurai. I'm not.
Did
even,
he?
No, he didn't.
Right.
But he could have done.
That would have been a nice twist.
Technologically and, you know, yes. Socially, that would have actually been possible.
Huh.
So FYI, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think this is more likely. I think the Conservatives are going to poll higher and better than is otherwise expected in other polls, just because there'll be lots of old people who view the Conservatives as the party of pensions, frankly.
Yeah.
Here's another one from YouGov. Which, as you can see, there's quite a substantive difference. You know, the well, 21 to 19, it's not that substantive, actually. But YouGov being self-selected online polling, Reform 25%, minus 3. Labour on 20%, Conservatives 19%, but otherwise a fairly reliable and predictable split for the rest of them.
Yeah, I don't trust YouGov, never have.
No, but they're not terrible, actually, at predicting results. The next one is Lord Ashcroft polls. Again, Reform on 25%, Conservatives on 22%, Greens on 19%, Labour 18%, Lib Dems 10%. Interestingly, for the Lord Ashcroft polls, they are conducted online, but Lord Ashcroft is, of course, a Conservative Lord. And yes. So maybe he is pulling more heavily from Conservative demographics. But... as with the Varian polls, I think that actually might be more accurate. Because I think the older Conservative voters are not being accurately represented here.
I mean, the YouGov guys were Tory councillors in Wandsworth or Richmond, I think it was. Yeah. So I mean, that's their background. But I mean, they just go along with whatever is fashionable that week. So if Ukraine is in the headlines or vaccines are in the headlines, it's basically whatever the government narrative is, they back it.
That is correct. So the Lord Ashcroft ones have various panels of polls which are conducted online, again, for all that's worth. But then I thought we'd look at the pollster ratings, right? Because actually we can compare, and Varian have the best score based on their predictiveness. YouGov are also pretty good, all things considered.
Is this based on the last election?
Yes. So recent, their accuracy in predicting the most recent three general elections.
Okay, that's better. So,
yeah, it's not just the last election, based on national share of votes and FIDO polling and things like that. Right? And so Varian, like I said, they do deep polling, and it means they don't do very much in the way of polling. Their polls can be quite spaced out, but they do tend to have the best scores. YouGov are not bad. They're 81% score. If you go down to Find Out Now, they're on 44, and Lord Ashcroft is the bottom at 34.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and More in Common's only at 56 there.
That's a shame, because I like the people's polling one, because it just shows Labour and Tories getting utterly annihilated, and it being this farcical situation where Zach Goldsmith is the leader of the opposition.
Well, this is...
And I think that's funny.
Well, this is what I wanted to address, really, because... Yeah. This is why I think that not only was it the Varian one is probably most likely, and actually in reality it feels like it's probably going to be the most likely.
It's a shame though, isn't it? Having the Tories still as the official opposition. I mean,
I know it's embarrassing. What the Lib Dems?
I kind of hope that, you know, the stake had been wedged into the heart at this point. They'd burst into flames, but they do just keep ticking over.
Labour 18% is interesting, and we'll come back to that number in a bit. Mm. So in Wales, in particular, Labour follow the same pattern. And this is the thing I want to pay attention to, really, is you'll notice that Labour 18%, Labour 20% was not great, but, you know, Labour 18%, all these sorts of things were massive, massive drops. I mean, as you can see here, from April... in 2025, Labour have lost 17% of their vote share. Right,
basically half.
Yeah, it's literally halved. And a similar sort of thing has happened in Wales. Wales, Labour are just absolutely getting slashed. And this is for the general election 2029 based on YouGov. Reform hammering it. Good for them, to be honest. The Reform are above the bloody Welsh Nationalist Party. Twice of Labour's, more than twice of the Conservatives, but the Conservatives have never been particularly strong.
Yep.
More than, you know, so Reform
and all while offering the most milquetoast nationalism possible. I mean, what would happen? I mean, obviously, Plaid Cymru are not nationalist in the slightest. No. They just put it in the name because they couldn't think of a better name and they can't field enough candidates to get outside of Wales. But what if somebody came along and just offered an actual nationalist option?
Well, I can only imagine, frankly,
yeah.
Because I don't think such a thing is actually going to happen. But yeah, as you can see, Wales has decided, you know what, we're sick of this. Because, I mean, things are not good in Wales, obviously. Same as everywhere else, but worse, frankly. You know,
they've got that ridiculous, what is it, what are they down to? Is it like 10 miles an hour speed limit across the whole of Wales?
I think it's 20.
I know it was 20, but I heard that they decided...
Has it been reduced again?
I heard...
No way.
They definitely wanted to reduce it even lower.
Lower than 20 miles an hour?
Yeah. I mean, just sod it, just make it reverse.
Yeah, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the Welsh YouGov poll. And then you've got the way that pans out to the seats, which, again, is remarkable. Like, this was all Labour. Plaid Cymru in the western, sort of southwest, northwest of Wales, the more Welsh parts of Wales, the less anglicised parts. But then the rest of it is basically just Reform.
I mean, those little ones, that should be industrial... sort of Welsh heartland.
Coal mining area.
Yeah, classic. That should be classic Labour.
Yeah.
They're like, they're all, no, we're...
And they were. They were classic Labour. In fact, let's have a quick look at the, you know, this the 2021 Senedd election. I can't pronounce it. But as you can see, you know, it's Labour storming with 30 seats, you know, and the closest Conservatives on 16. Who was this one? Plaid Cymru on 13. Lib Dems on 1. You know, so only one area of Wales actually has big gardens.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
That map, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That bottom bit should be glowing bright red.
Yes, and it always has been.
Yes.
You know, and so for it to just flip so comprehensively.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible.
It's almost like our thesis is correct.
What, the Labour Party don't represent any
country? No, the centre is just imploding.
Oh, because I think so.
Classic politics is the swingometer. And it should be these people are moving this way and these people are moving that way, but all the categories and all the boundaries are just imploding.
Yeah.
It's more like an immune response at this point. People are coughing up something that they shouldn't have eaten.
And that's the thing, you're exactly right. Normally, the categories are essentially fixed and immutable.
Yeah.
You know, we're going from the Labour to the Tories, the Labour to the Tories, maybe a bit to the Lib Dems, the Labour to the Tories. And now it's just like, no, all of this doesn't matter.
So if in the 90s or 2000s or even 2000s then, you had watched the election night stream for any of the, you know, the Sky or BBC or ITV or whatever it was, it would be, here's our profiles.
Yes.
This is the family. This is the, you know, guy earning this much living in London. This is and then they do these little swingometers back and forth on each of them. But it's none of that this time. They're all just coughing up something vile.
And what I love about this as well is if you go back and watch old election street night,
yeah, they're great. They're great.
It's not they're great. The presenters are all confident, right? Mm. There's a kind of smugness in the presenters because they deal with politics all day, every day. They've been following the polls. The polls are generally fairly accurate, and so they can't, it's like they kind of know in advance.
Yes.
Oh yeah, this is going to be like when what's his name after Blair won, and
Cameron.
Not Cameron, the Conservatives. Was it Heseltine or who's that?
Could have been.
I can't remember, but there was this one particular like Channel 4 interview with the guy. He's a decent enough guy as well.
You'll need to give me a clue of some
2007,
sort.
2007, I think it was. Who was the Conservative leader?
Howard, George Duncan Smith.
Might have been Smith, but there was this one particular interview with a Conservative. Right. Chap, I can't remember his bloody name now, and it's right on the top of my tongue, tip of my tongue. But you could see that there's this kind of like, yeah, we got crushed by Labour again, and you know, the Conservatives are like licking their wounds, and the journalists are all kind of like smug about it. But that that is going now, right?
Because you're talking about 97 Michael Patillo, are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was Patillo.
Oh, okay, that was 97. Yeah, yeah, he lost his seat in 97.
Yeah, yeah. And, the, you know, he was doing interviews and things like that, and yeah. they were all kind of smug about it.
Yes.
And I felt really bad for him, actually, because he seemed like a decent chap. But they had this kind of security. They said, no, we're in predictable politics. You know, we've just come off of however many decades of conservative rule.
Yes.
You got a Labour landslide, you got smashed, you know, you're going to go lick your wounds and figure out what you did wrong. And we are basically the ringmasters of the spectacle. But now...
Well, and also, even back then, the Conservatives weren't that worried.
No.
Because it was like, oh, okay, Tony Blair's won a big victory, and he's probably going to win another one after this as well, and very possibly a third one, but then the pendulum will come back, and it will be normal service. Nobody is going away here.
We know how this game is played. We've played it for 100 years, right?
Yes.
We know how this works. And so the sort of... The parties involved in the conflict... Okay, yeah, we took a few knocks, but that's fine. We'll come back.
And I'll tell you the point about the media class as well. Whenever you watch those things, you get these panels where they'd all sit down and you get these wiseheads. Oh, this is the guy that was leader of the Lib Dems 10 years ago, Paddy Ashdown, and he's coming. And this guy used to do this, and he's going to come. And this guy's an ex-journalist. And they all sit down and they just smugly tell you what's going to happen over the next 8 hours.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Because put a pin in this, because we are going to come back to the ex-party leaders giving their august opinions on what's going to happen in the future of politics, right? Because as I said, the ringmasters are realizing that the lions are all loose from the cages, right? The categories no longer exist. The cages aren't even there. Like, what's going on? They don't know. They don't know what's going to happen in this new era of politics. Because as you say, something is being coughed up here. Something is dramatically changing. We can just, like I said, look at other ones. Here's for the local elections in Wales. The Labour Party won 468 seats with 30% of the vote, by far the largest share, with 300 independents, 200 Plaid Cymru, blah, 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 184 Conservatives. And it looks like Reform are just going to just completely consume all of this. None of this is going to matter. So... Again, going back to the prediction, okay, where are you now? Mm. How do you explain this? And...
Sorry, I've just spotted not a single Labour seat in Wales.
No. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Was that not clear from this? No, it wasn't clear from this. Yeah, there won't be a single Labour seat in Wales. They'll go to the...
Well, I know it's right in front of me, but when it's like bloody hell.
I mean, they're not even listed at the top.
The Conservatives get one seat in Wales. The Lib Dems get one seat. Plaid Cymru are getting, the sheepy bits by the coast.
Yeah.
It's just Reform winning everything.
Yeah, Plaid Cymru will get like 8 or 9 seats, something like that. But it's just Reform. It's just Reform sweeping a lot. And again, this is a YouGov poll. This is not an unpredictable, unreliable pollster or anything like this. You know, it's not Lord Ashcroft polls or something, right? And even then, I think the Lord Ashcroft polls nationally is actually going to be relatively reflective of what's going to happen. But I guess we'll see, right? I mean, who knows? We're in a strange era where strange things happen. Anyway.
Well, still fundamentally, none of these polls are telling us something wildly different. It's just the measure of the trouncing.
It's the scope.
Yeah. Are you going to spend 5 years in a coma or 7? I mean, that's what it's telling you, the scale of the beating.
Yeah, basically. So anyway, let's talk about the Labour Party, because I think actually when you look at the things that the Labour Party is doing, it's pretty explainable why this is all happening. Because the Labour Party under Keir Starmer and his managerial bureaucratic cabinet are the worst thing that anyone has ever seen. You've got 38 Labour MPs signing an open letter to urge the Prime Minister to drop David Lammy's plan to do away with jury trials in some cases. No kidding. I can't believe it's only 38 in this backbench revolt.
But I like the way this guy's framed it. He says, don't march us up the hill only to be marched down again. He knows that when this gets serious, this is not going to stand. This cannot stand. I mean, if you get rid of jury trials, I would actually rather that you got rid of voting before you got rid of jury trials.
Well, gotcha. I'd rather at least know I'm going to get a trial when I'm accused of something.
Yeah.
Not be able to vote for the next boring administration.
Yeah, precisely. So this MP, he knows that this is ultimately not going to be viable. And he's just saying, rather than do all of this and then have to U-turn, just scrap it now.
Yeah, and he is a Labour MP. like for East Hull, again, someone who's staring down the barrel of a reform victory, right? And he says, you know, many MPs not in this letter have said they will rebel if necessary. They know, well, like, I mean, I don't even know why they think this was a good idea. It's like, yeah, but administrative reasons, as David Lammy argued, we need to clear the backlog.
I think it is that simple. It's just, they realised, oh, we got a backlog. Oh, how can we speed up the backlog? Oh, we just do this. It's just an admin fix. And in their mind, they can't understand the issue.
Yes.
Guilty people will get put away faster. What's the issue?
We literally did this at Southport.
Yeah.
Like, we literally just tell them all to plead guilty so we can do away with the jury.
I mean, it
24 hour courts.
And it is as vile as CPS, all of whom have a .gov email,
yep,
will recommend a case and it will go before a judge who has a .gov email,
yep,
because somebody said something that offended somebody with a .gov email.
Yes.
I mean, it's a total stitch up. I mean, there's literally no pretense that we're a serious country if this goes through.
And but notice what you're saying there. We're going to cut the public out of their own jury trial system, like the
yep,
legal system. Like, you don't. We are reducing everything to mere administration.
Right? Yep.
And people are furious. And even the Labour backbenchers are like, you know, we can't have this because our own constituents will democratically lynch us at the ballot box for this. Like, we will never be forgiven for this. And you'll notice that there's a bunch of things that they said they're going to do that are kind of sitting in abeyance at the moment. Like, what happened to the digital IDs, Keir?
Yeah.
That's disappeared, hasn't it? Because it turned out everyone hated that. The polling came out and it was like, people were, about a third of the people were okay with it. And now it's like, you know, 5% or something.
I mean, and the weird thing about that is for the first few months, it wasn't even funded.
No.
And nobody in the civil service knew what they were doing.
No.
And then the last disastrous budget, they finally found some money. They took some money off Border Patrol and basically gave it to the digital IDs. And yeah, like you say, at the point where it's a non-starter.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you don't have the authority within your own party to get this stuff pushed through. And it's not just the backbench MPs either. They're losing the unions to the left. As Lewis Goodall tells us, union ally Christina McNea, however it's pronounced, has lost the unison general secretary election, replaced by a leftist who is in promising to review the Labour Union's relationship with the Labour Party themselves. So if the Labour Party lose the bloody unions too, like, what power bases do they even have left in the country?
I mean, if they've lost voters and the markets and the unions,
how are they getting elected again?
Well, I mean, I guess they're not, but I mean, how are they getting any votes at all?
That's a great question.
Right, well, yes. Just,
do we even need the elections?
So I said earlier I'd rather lose the right to vote than the right to a jury trial. Keir Starmer's like, hold my beer, Dad.
Why not both?
Both?
Yeah. Why not both?
Yeah.
So for anyone who's not aware, Labour are trying to rearrange the nature of the country and essentially centralise local councils into much larger constituencies, drawing you further away from local government for some reason. This is somehow devolution. And this means that in the process of doing that, they have decided they're going to suspend the local elections for about 10 million people who would have voted in these, or could have voted in these elections. Significant portion of the country. Now, a lot of people are pointing out that kind of looks bad. Not only have you been getting absolutely waxed in these local elections, but it looks like you're doing everything you can to essentially subvert democracy, to prevent Nigel Farage and Reform from taking over, which they clearly are, from absorbing significant portions of the Labour vote, which they clearly are, in order to continue a managerial regime that nobody agrees with, not even the Labour Party, nor the unions, nor the general public, nor anyone. And so being like, yeah, we're just going to delay a bunch of local elections.
Back the last time Labour were in serious risk of losing power under Gordon Brown, there was a lot of talk like this.
Yes.
About, you know, perhaps we need to reevaluate elections or change the terms. You know, maybe we need to lower it to 16. We need all of these things. They were talking about rigging the election.
But remember, they changed the age of the general election down to
16. Not when it was Gordon Brown.
No, but they've done it now.
Yeah. But because they knew they were going to be replaced by the Tories, they never actually went ahead with it. But the tendency remains. Now it's Keir Starmer and his Fabians obviously feel it's a bit more existential. And so they're not just talking this time. They're actually just doing the whole litany of things to try and subvert democracy.
The elections are dangerous to our democracy.
Yeah.
It's where they have arrived at as their literal ruling
principle. Well, what is the administrative value of an election? It's just bureaucratic energy.
Precisely.
With no output. Why would we want this?
And also, an election can deliver the wrong result.
Mm.
If it is all just... I mean, a jury can deliver the wrong result.
Exactly.
All of these things go against the managerial regime. And so the managerial regime's like, well, no, we don't need to have elections. In fact, elections would be bad for us implementing this agenda. And things, even the Electoral Commission is like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You know, no, these should go ahead as planned. Issues linked to local government reform are not a valid reason for postponement.
Yeah, pull staff off writing strategy papers and put them on dishing out ballots.
Yeah, I mean, their own quangos.
Yes.
Like, this is too much.
All I want is the bins emptied and an election.
Yeah.
I don't care about all the other stuff that you do.
In fact, I don't want you to do any of the other stuff.
Well, yes.
Right? So that's bad enough. 63 council elections, 10 million people who would have voted in May. Because everyone knows, come the May elections, everyone knows. The numbers are already in from, like, we have all of these bellwether polls. We've got all these polls catastrophic for Labour. We've got all the bellwether by-elections that are just, they're all Labour down, Labour down, Labour down. We've got everything pointing in the one direction that Labour are going to get thrashed.
Yes. Well, and the narrative behind that the Labour MPs are having is, yes, this guy is a disaster, but why don't we wait until the May elections, and then that will give us the momentum needed to get rid of him. As so Keir Starmer, big brain that he is, well, we just get rid of the May elections then.
Yeah, checkmate.
Yeah.
I get to rule forever. And the thing is, this, like you said, this contempt for the concept of the election is quite deeply ingrained in the managerial order. They pay lip service to it while they're winning, and when they're losing, well, we need to start thinking about ruling them out. Because in an interview with Sky the other day, the Labour Party chair refused 3 times to rule out delaying the next general election.
The general election.
I mean, how could you rule that out? I refuse to rule that out.
You can kind of get away with local elections because actually really nobody cares that much. Yeah, but just scrapping the next general election?
I mean, you know, if the Electoral Commission's like, you can't just delay all the local elections...
This is proper mask or Fabianism now.
Right, but you can see where their minds are, right?
Because, I mean,
there's no other party in the country would be like, of course we're not going to delay the general election.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the Conservatives had election after election in the last, like, 5 years. You know, like, bloody Liz Truss, Boris, Theresa May. You know, the Conservatives are doing democracy properly, you know, I hate to say it, you know, and the Labour Party are like, no, we're in power now. So elections are actually a secondary issue because we have another agenda we're trying to implement. And so the question is on everyone's minds is, well, why hasn't Keir Starmer been told to resign by his own party? Right?
Oh, because they're waiting for the May election to give them momentum. That's why.
But why do we need to wait that long? You know what's happening to your party. So Dan Hodges in the Mail here wrote this article about despairing, because he speaks to a lot of Labour MPs. And... the Labour MPs tell me this party is forming a circular firing squad with Keir Starmer right at the centre, and everything's falling apart. And he's got this great line in here, right? He says, leafing through my notebooks for the year, conversations with his ministers contain a litany of identical phrases. Quote, he is not present. Keir is strangely detached. He's literally never here. I just can't get him to focus. The same goes for backbench MPs. He's cut us loose. He has no interest in what any of us think. I feel like I'm invisible to him. Right, so...
Well, I mean, it's nice to know that Labour backbench is getting the exactly same treatment as the rest of us.
Yeah, I guess. But that's it. Really interesting, isn't it? Because you assume the Labour Party, like any political party you'd assume, takes care of its own constituents first, right? Mm. So you would think, Keir Starmer, like, right, the unions are a core part of the Labour bloc. I will take care of the unions. You know, I will make sure the unions are well on side. Oh, the working class areas in the north of the country or the south of Wales, I will take them in. You know, yeah, okay, I don't care about the southwest of England. They never vote Labour. I don't care about any of the, you know, like particular areas where the Conservatives and in the southeast of England, they never vote Labour. Not my problem. We're going to make sure we huddle together, you know, draw to my bosom all of those reliable Labour voters and show them that I'm their man and that we are going to get their vote, so we are not going to get absolutely wiped out in the next election.
Which is kind of bold because, it's classic elite theory, isn't it? It's the Smithian friend-enemy distinction.
Yeah.
And then Keir Starmer has come along and said, yeah, I don't need the friend bit. I'm simply going to have enemies. Everybody in the country, including the bloody trade unions and my own backbenchers, everybody's an enemy.
And that is really what this is boiling down to. Like the Starmer bunker,
yeah,
is a very narrow thing at the very at the top of a very high tower with a very small number of people in it, which is literally just the Labour front bench, as far as I can tell. And everyone else, apparently, Keir Starmer just could go hang.
He's just a little wizard in his tower.
Yeah, he doesn't care about anyone else. It's like, that is wild. So anyway, Dan says, among ministers, there's a growing belief that sometime next year, Starmer will formalise his withdrawal from the premiership. But I'm not seeing any evidence of this, frankly. I'm seeing evidence that Starmer intends to delay the elections that will be the cause of him having to give up power.
I mean, the more I learn about Keir Starmer as we go along, in a way, I'm grateful that he's Prime Minister.
I quite enjoy
because
it.
If he wasn't, he would. I bet there's another timeline where he is the most prolific serial killer this country's ever had. and when they start travelling dimensions, people are going to be coming to this one. It's like, what? Seriously? He's the Prime Minister?
Well, he never dreamt. He never had a feeling. He never lived like a human.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point being, a bunch of the ministers think that he's got to go next year. But so far, I think what we've seen is him making moves that kind of signal he doesn't intend to go next year. No, we're not going to have May elections. We might not even have another general election, according to Keir Starmer, which is insane and very sort of Eurocrat, right?
Yeah.
This feels like the kind of behaviour from the top of the European Union. Like, who voted for Ursula von der Leyen? Mm. And the answer is about, like, 12 bureaucrats.
Mm.
You know, they're the actual ones who voted. Like, the general public do not get any say in any of this. And Keir Starmer has taken that same kind of approach. Now, remember, he is a Davos man.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a Westminster guy. He hates Westminster. So the way that British politics works, he has been against and seems to be just revealing this. So the Labour ministers who are kind of operating in the previous paradigm's thought process, which is, well, okay, this guy's failing. He's creating our party. He's got to step down soon because there'll be an election. And Keir Starmer's like, will there be? You know, and it's like, right, that's mad, but don't rule anything out.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, like, he is well off the rails on almost everything, right? Like, nobody thought trial by jury was in doubt. Nobody thought for a second digital ID was coming in.
Yeah.
Like, nobody thought any of, like, I mean, what are the mad things he done?
I mean, when you frame it as the Eurocrat thing, it suddenly makes perfect sense to me because everybody is looking at this and thinking this is an aberration.
Yes.
But if his mind is working on Eurocrat rails,
yes,
what everybody else thinks is the aberration.
Yes.
Of course you just have a managed bureaucracy and no elections.
Exactly. Why are you thinking of a traditional British democracy in which the people actually have... Because people can complain about democracy all they like, but while we have elections, and our elections have been pretty good, secure, you know, nobody really doubts this, the integrity.
Oh, I trust them far more than, say, American elections.
Oh, gotcha. Because I know you go to the polling booths and it's little old dears who are actually conducting the actual election.
They go in a locked box. Yeah. The locked box has got a wax seal on it. There's eyes on them at all time. They're then taken by a van to a big sports centre.
A counting station.
Yep.
And you, as the candidate, I did this at the UKIP one, you can watch them counting.
Yep. You watch the wax seal being broken. They're tipped out into a desk in front of people, including your representatives, everybody's representatives, and you see everything. I trust the British electoral system, apart from in Tower Hamlets.
Sure.
Yes.
And maybe in Leicester and a few places like that. But the point is, when the British themselves are conducting their elections, completely trustworthy, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I think Keir Starmer agrees with that, which is why I think he wants to stop the elections. Anyway, so a bunch of people, here's a Lord Ashcroft poll that shows that about half the country think that just someone else will be the leader of the Labour Party next year. Who will still be in their jobs by next Christmas? 48% of people think it's not going to be Keir Starmer, because, again, they're still operating in the previous paradigm. It looks like genuinely he's clinging.
Are they asking everybody in general or Labour Party members?
These are just general polls.
Okay.
And so 21% of people think it'll be Keir Starmer, those people on the inside, presumably, who know what's happening. But again, like, okay, fair enough. You know, it seems that people think that the Conservatives and Labour are kind of done, right? So
oh, yeah.
8% of people think Zach Polanski will leave the Greens. Only 10% of people think Farage won't be the leader. Only 8% of people think Ed Davey. But 26% of people and 48% of people in Labour and Conservatives. Again, speaks to a remarkable discontent.
Oh, it's the thesis, isn't it? The centre's being hollowed out.
Yes.
I mean, at first blush, I'm surprised about the Kenny thing, because Conservatives are quite fratricidal.
Yes.
They're change leaders just because they're bored, let alone anything else.
But people might be like, the Conservatives do love their Yoruba mammies.
Well, yeah, maybe, yeah.
But the point is, 26% of people saying that Kemi won't be there.
It's still quite high.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the other parties at least seem to have representative leaders.
Mm.
They represent what the party is, and the people who vote for them are authentically that thing.
Mm.
Labour and Conservatives, people are like, no, I don't think they'll be there because their parties are tanking. Everyone can feel it. It's in the air, right?
Mm.
And so people have been complaining, well, hang on a second. The government's asking Tory-controlled councils if they want to delay. And I saw, who was that woman from The Apprentice?
I don't watch TV.
Like Dragon's Den, sorry. Right, there's some woman on Dragon's Den.
Oh, Deborah Meaden.
Yeah. She was like, well, why? I saw her on Twitter the other day. I tagged her in it, actually. Because it was like, she was like, well, why would the Conservatives agree to not having these elections when Labour want to delay the elections? It doesn't make sense. It's like...
Well, are they asking the leader of the council, or as in the elected politician?
Yes.
Or the chief executive of the council, which is a government-appointed position.
But either way, if you're the Conservatives and you're also getting wiped out of the local elections, yeah, maybe we can delay them.
Well, yes.
Actually. Because, okay, it's bad for the Labour Party, it'd be worse for the Labour Party, but it's still really bad for us. Because we've seen the tallies as well, where we've had this and we've collapsed to this, you've had that, you've collapsed to that, and Reform and the Lib Dems are taking everything. Yeah, maybe we are okay with them.
It's the cockroach having a conversation with the weevil about whether their house should be fumigated.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not happy with it. And the Labour Party themselves are aware that if one of them dies, the other one dies, right? Mm. As we go back to Neil Kinnock, former Labour leader, as you said earlier in the podcast, they're aware that it used to be business as usual, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Listen to this. Oh, for some reason, we can't hear it.
Stories. But I would say that so much of our system and the integrity of our democracy depends upon there being a rational, forward-looking, right-of-centre party to contest the ideas of democratic socialist Labour, that we'd all be losers if that option disappeared.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, that is very revealing.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, there was after the 1997 general election, Tony Blair was watching the results come in, and maybe hadn't paid attention to many elections. Basically, all you get for the first 4 hours is Labour gains, because those are the constituents. They're in a city, so they're faster. And he was looking at this, and it was nothing but Labour gains everywhere, even into the bit where you should have started to see some Tory. And everyone around him was celebrating, and he was bricking it because he thought, oh shit, I've overdone this. I need, because the Labour and the Tory parties, they're two corpses that lean against each other.
Yeah.
And he knew that, and he was really worried that he'd overdone it. So when you're at the top level of this politics, you understand the mechanism, and he's just explained it here. It doesn't work one without the other, because it's the illusion.
The containment.
Yes, the containment.
It's the containment that he's talking about. And again, Neil Kinnock, famous Labour Tory hater. I mean, he says at the beginning, you know, far be it from me to make an appeal to the Tories, but if the Tory party dies, the Labour party dies.
It's the yin-yang.
And so if the Labour Party dies, the Tory Party dies. And so we're
looking, I mean, I like that.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's the end of containment, right? It's the end of the system of making sure the British public never get what they bloody well want. Yes. That's what he's complaining about.
Yes.
And look at him, you know, old chap now, being like, oh God, you know, things have gone off the rails. Like, yeah, yep. Maybe you shouldn't have been a bunch of bloody traitors for the duration when you were formerly the Labour leader. They know that this is, they're in it together. Right? Mm-hmm. They know. And they're polling about as much as Farage combined. But in some of the polls, as we saw earlier, the Conservatives were not so deeply getting trounced. If I can just get back to them a second. Not that one, actually. So here we go. This particular one from the Variant Group is the one that made a lot of waves. So Reform on 27%, which is good, very good, but not dominating in the same way that 33% is. But the Conservatives only on 21%. Now,
yeah,
that should be a total tragedy. 50% when Boris was in charge, for example, right?
Yeah.
So total tragedy. But the Conservatives...
They're still in the game.
Exactly. They're taking it like, oh, no, actually, this is not the end of the world, actually. You know, we're above the Labour Party somehow. And so it's been like, well, hang on a second. Is this the Badenoch bounce? Is Kemi Badenoch bringing the Tories back from the brink?
It's not a theory that I would advance myself.
No, me either. But it's not the end of the world for the Conservatives.
No.
Which,
well,
it's not great. Yes. It's absolutely not great. But the Conservative vote does seem to have stabilised at around 20%. Mm. So a fifth of the country are inveterate Conservatives, no matter who they put in charge,
yes,
and no matter what nonsense they have done to us.
Well, maybe that's why Keir Starmer wants to delay the next election until the rest of the Tory vote dies off.
I mean, maybe, but as Neil Kinnock pointed out, that's the other party dead anyway.
Mm.
So this has been a narrative that have gone around. Oh, the Tories are surging. The surge is they didn't collapse as much as Labour. That's the surge. And they, you know, is Kemi Badenoch bringing us back from the brink? Whisper it, says the Telegraph. But Badenoch is dragging them back. It's like, well, the Telegraph is just a Tory mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the point is there's a kind of desperation in it. Because, okay, they've had a couple of okay polls in the last couple of polls, but that's still not great if you actually look at the aggregate polling. So in the aggregate polling, Reform are on 29%, Labour on 18%, the Conservatives are on 17%, the Greens are on 15%. Like, is that, you know, a couple of outlier polls, which is what they're appealing to?
So what are they describing as a good result? Is it
21%.
Getting official opposition?
I guess so.
They can't believe that they're going to win.
No, obviously they don't think they're
right,
going
to win. So it's official opposition.
Yes. Not just not being completely crushed.
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to think through over Christmas what happens in that situation. Because if you've got Reform as the main party and the Conservatives as the opposition, what does that make Reform do? Do they shift to the right of the Conservatives or to the left of them?
I would hope what this does is create a kind of bidding war for who could be my most right-wing, right?
Now, that I would like.
Of course, that'd be wonderful. That's what I'd hope for.
Yes.
The interesting thing is, without the sort of bully pulpit of being the opposition, who cares what Labour and the Greens say? You know, like, they'll be like, oh, but what about the climate change? But what about minority rights? Well, what about the... Who cares? Like, if it's between the Tories and Reform... How about we just deport all the fucking illegals, mate? You've both pledged to do it.
Yeah, well, that is interesting.
How about cut the taxes? Pledged to do it.
I was kind of getting warmed up to the idea of Reform with the Greens as the opposition, because Greens are such fantasists.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be hilarious.
No, you're selling me on... Because the Conservatives... The Conservatives are the most based in opposition.
Yeah.
In power, they're arch-liberals.
Correct.
But if they're the opposition and they're doing their whole... baster than thou thing.
I mean, if Jemrick ends up leading them.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm not a huge fan of Jemrick, but he's not terrible at all. And he at least does say some base things.
You know, yep. There are a couple of them. But he says them.
Yeah, Katie Lamb, you know, there are a few base Tories. And so, actually, a right-wing bidding war would be nice and would at least push Farage into a more hardline position, which, okay, great. And they're all...
I'm liking this.
They're all in fairly hardline positions as it is. But to be honest with you, I would prefer the Lib Dems being the second party, which they might be. I know they're only polling on 13%, but like we've covered previously, the Lib Dems concentrate in certain areas. And so they always punch well above their polling, the national polling average.
Yeah.
So this is deceptive. It could
But they've got a lot of vectors for attack. If you've got a really big garden, you might vote Conservative. If you really care about immigrants, you might vote Labour. And if you really sort of... cloud in the head in the skies thing, you might vote Green. So there's lots of ways for them to shed voters.
There are.
And Reform have got there because there is, well, because they're not establishment.
Exactly. But the Lib Dems, I think, don't rule them out. It's entirely possible they're the second party. But it's likely to be Conservatives or Lib Dems, basically. I don't think it's going to be the Labour Party.
I mean, what you should get from this is we don't know. And it's fascinating.
Yeah, we don't know.
Like that thing earlier, you used to be able to sit down on election night and basically explain how the next 8 to 10 hours were going to go.
Yeah.
And okay, we got a bit, it's a bit longer out to the next election, but who the hell knows what's going on for second place?
No, but the thing I think Farage, because I mean, this is up to the 15th of December, so we've got, you know, 10 days, well, ish, of polling that has come in. And this is where the sort of like the Conservatives polling at 21% is bucking the trend a bit. And Reform getting down to like 27% in some, 25% in one. You know, Nigel does want to make sure he pays attention to this, right? Because like we said last time, I think that he probably is keeping his powder dry, right? Like I know a lot of people are not hopeful for base Nigel coming out, but I do think he moderates himself on purpose.
Well, he'd definitely get more base in a run-up to an election.
I agree, right? Yep. And but this is a thing that he wants to pay attention to, and actually having a couple of aces up his sleeve that he can pull out, which blindside them. Like for example, you know, I don't know, something on nuclear power, something on just an unusual political football that isn't usually being kicked, right?
Well, I mean, we only got deportation of foreign criminals in the weeks leading up to the last general election because he suddenly said, "Yeah, this manifesto isn't strong enough."
Yeah.
Right. Let's put in deporting foreign migrants and stuff. So maybe next time it will just be remigration program.
Yeah, and, you know, abolishing inheritance tax. I don't know. Stuff that the other guys are just essentially not going to agree with that he can distinguish himself on. Maybe he'll do that. But the question that I have been raising over and over is, sorry, who votes for the Labour Party? Who is that 18%? Right?
You know?
No. But look at what Keir Starmer put out yesterday, in fact. This Christmas, a lot of people will be working hard to keep our country safe, often away from their families. We invited public sector workers to Downing Street for an early Christmas dinner to say thank you. If I can get the sound up on that, we'll watch it.
You must be the delivery.
We are.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Got a bit of garlic in.
Very nice.
I think I did that this morning. You thought I was in a cabinet meeting,
did you?
Didn't you
do that?
Yeah, I was up here. Right, that's not quite the right angle, love. There we go, Larry. We wanted to invite you in to Downing Street to say a big thank you to you, because in here we've got lots and lots of people who are working on Christmas Day, helping to keep us safe and sound. Many of your families won't necessarily see you on Christmas Day. And we really, really want to say a big thank you. We wanted to get you to come in for lunch to say thank you for that, give you your Christmas lunch a little bit early. And through you, all the people that are working on Christmas Day, we want to say thank you to. How was your food?
Oh, fantastic.
Potatoes good?
Everything.
Gravy good? I was stirring the gravy earlier on.
Oh, well done.
1, 2, 3. Oh! So enjoy it and have a really good afternoon, and you're very welcome to our house. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, no expense spared. You know, he's personally doing the gravy and the potatoes and things like that for the public sector workers.
Yes. Well, he put out a tweet the other day, which was something along the lines of, you've received whatever it is, a 9% pay rise this year. And he didn't even mention Oh, yeah, but that's just the public sector workers.
Yes. Because remember, we covered it last time. Mm. They were the ones who had twice inflation in their pay rises.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We can see Keir Starmer's constituency coming into view. He didn't get the unions in. He didn't get, you know, he didn't go down to, you know, somewhere in Wales or in the north.
He didn't do this for Labour MPs.
Didn't do it for the MPs. Like, no, you're all out in the cold.
Yeah.
He gives you nothing. He cares about you not a whit.
Yes.
Because you are all essentially connected to the concept of democracy. But these people have nothing
to do with it. The apparatchiks.
Exactly. They are the sinews of the bureaucratic structure. Mm. And then the system itself, he brings closest to his chest.
In his weird, soulless way.
He loves the system. The system over everything. Mm. And the people who run the system are the heroes of the country, as far as he's concerned.
Yes.
Right? Nothing to do with electoral politics, nothing to do with...
He's just going around cancelling elections, ending ending jury trial, and none of it's legal, but he's just like the Emperor Palpatine, who's like, I will make it legal.
Yeah. And I don't care, because the people who actually run the system will all support me.
Yes.
They are my true support base. If I cancel elections, you'll be angry, but these people who push papers and make sure that, you know, the various sort of organs, you know, the mechanics of governance, they will all continue because they're my people and they understand them.
It's Saddam Hussein and the Baathists all over again.
Yeah.
They might only be 26% of the country, but that's all I need.
Well, what percentage of the country do you think are civil servants?
Is it about 26%? Same as the Baathists?
What were they polling?
Oh, yeah, good point. Like 13%, wasn't it?
18%.
18%.
Precisely, 18%.
And
they just so happen to be averaging 18% in the polls. And there's only one constituency that Keir Starmer even attempts to court. Isn't that interesting?
The big Scooby-Doo reveal at the end, and it was worth it.
Right?
Yeah.
The whole thing, it suddenly comes into view, doesn't it? Like, this is why he doesn't care about anyone, because it takes 6.2 million people to apparently run this country, and he's capturing them onto his side. That's what I think is happening.
Fascinating.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.